He's prepared to use them. Believe it. But actually, he won't have to. Because four of the SAS guys are snipers. They've got PSG-1s, Heckler and Koch sniper rifles from the black market in Belgium. They'll drop you all 300 yards out with their eyes shut. 7 rounds, game over. They're miles from anywhere. Nobody will hear. And if they do, they won't care. This is the back of beyond. Farm country. Somebody's always shooting something. Foxes, road signs, burglars, each other. The room went quiet. Kowalski picked up his drink and sipped. Then Burke did, and then Groom. Kowalski was left-handed. Burke and Groom were right-handed. Reacher said, "So your best play is to just forget it and go home now. Lane is going to die. There's no doubt about that. But there's no reason why you should die with him. This isn't your fight. This is all about Lane's ego. It's between him and Kate and Taylor. Don't get yourselves killed for that kind of bullshit." Burke said, "We can't just walk away." "You walked away in Africa," Reacher said. "You left Hobart and Knight behind to save the unit. So now you should leave Lane behind to save yourselves. You can't win here. Taylor's good. You know that. And his buddies are just as good. You're outnumbered more than 2-1, which is totally upside down. You know that, too. A situation like this, you need to outnumber the defenders. You're going to get your asses kicked." Nobody spoke. "You should go home. Hook up somewhere else, maybe start up on your own." Groom asked, "Are you with Taylor?" Reacher nodded. "And I'm good with a rifle. Back in the day, I won the Marine Sniper Trophy. I showed up in Army Green and I beat all of you miserable jarheads, hands down. So maybe I'll grab one of the PSGs. Maybe I'll drop you all 600 yards out just for the fun of it. Or 800. Or 1,000. Silence in the room. No sound at all except the shift and crackle of logs in the fire. Reacher looked straight at Kowalski. 5, 7, 1, 3, he lied. "That's the combination for Lane's closet door. There's still more than $9 million behind it, in cash. You should go get it, right now." No response. "Walk away. Live to fight another day." "They stole all that money," Burke said. "Alimony. Easier than asking for it straight up. Asking for alimony is what got Ann Lane killed. Kate found that out." "That was a kidnap." Reacher shook his head. "Knight offed her. For Lane. Because Ann wanted out. That's why you all abandoned Knight in Africa. Lane was covering his ass. He sacrificed Hobart, too, because he was in the same OP. "That's bullshit. I found Hobart. Knight told him all about it, while they were busy getting their hands and feet cut off." Silence. "Don't get killed for this kind of crap." Burke looked at Groom. Groom looked at Burke. They both looked at Kowalski. There was a long pause. Then Burke looked up. "Okay. I guess we could sit this one out." Groom nodded. Kowalski shrugged. Reacher stood up. "Smart decision." He moved toward the door, stopped at the hearth, and kicked his shoes against the stone again, asked, "Where are Lane and the others?" Quiet for a beat. Then Groom said, "There was no room here. They went up to Norwich, the city, some hotel up there. The guy here recommended it." Reacher nodded. "And when is he locking and loading?" Another pause. "Dawn, the day after tomorrow." "What did he buy?" "Submachine guns. MP5Ks, one each, plus 2 spares. Ammunition, night vision, flashlights, various bits and pieces."
"Are you going to call him as soon as I'm gone?"
"No," Burke said. "He's not the kind of guy you call with this kind of news."
"Okay," Reacher said. Then he stepped fast to his left and lifted the poker off its hook. reversed it in his hands, and spun around in one smooth movement and swung it hard and level and caught Carter Groom across the upper right arm, hard and straight and level, halfway between the elbow and the shoulder. The poker was a heavy iron bar, and Reacher was a strong and angry man, and Groom's humorous bone shattered like a piece of dropped china. Groom opened his mouth wide in sudden pain and shock, but before any kind of a scream got out, Reacher had sidestepped two paces to his left and broken Kowalski's left arm with a vicious, backhanded blow. Kowalski was left-handed. Burke and Groom were right-handed. Reacher knocked Kowalski out of his way with his hip and wound up like an old newsreel of Mickey Mantle getting ready to hit one out of the park, and smashed Burke across the right wrist with a line drive and pulverized every bone in there. Then he breathed out and turned away, and stepped to the fireplace and put the poker back on its hook. Just making sure. You didn't entirely convince me with your answers, especially the one about Lane's Hotel. Then he walked out of the saloon bar and closed the door quietly behind him. It was exactly 11:31 in the evening, according to the clock in his head. At exactly 11:32, by the platinum Rolex on his left wrist, Edward Lane closed the Toyota's rear door on 9 Heckler & Koch MP5K submachine guns, 60 30-round magazines of 9mm Parabellums, 7 sets of night vision goggles, 10 flashlights, 6 rolls of duct tape, and 2 long coils of rope. Then John Gregory started the engine. Behind him on the rear bench were Perez and Addison, quiet and pensive. Lane climbed into the front passenger seat, and Gregory turned the truck around and took off west. Standard Special Forces doctrine called for dawn assaults, but it also called for the insertion of a small advance force for a lengthy period of lying up and prior surveillance. At exactly 11:33, by the clock on her night table, Jade woke up, confused and hot and feverish with time zone confusion. She sat up in bed for a spell, dazed and quiet. Then she swung her feet to the floor, crossed the room slowly and pulled back her curtain. It was dark outside, and she could go outside in the dark. Taylor had said so. She could go visit the barns and find the animals she knew had to be there. Reacher retrieved his G-36 from under the saloon bar window at 11:34 precisely, and set out to walk back on the road, which he figured would make the return trip faster. 5 miles, level ground, no hills, decent pace. He anticipated about 75 minutes total. He was tired, but content, fairly satisfied. 3 trigger fingers out of action, the opposing force degraded to about 57% of its original capacity. The odds evened up to an attractive 4-on-4. Some useful intelligence gained. Groom's ingrained loyalty had led him to lie about Lane's hotel, and probably about the timing of the planned attack, too. Dawn, the day after tomorrow, was almost certainly a clumsy and hasty camouflaging of the truth, which therefore, in reality, would be simply dawn tomorrow. But the shopping list had probably been right. Night vision was a no-brainer for nighttime surveillance, and MP5Ks were pretty much what a guy like Lane would want for a subsequent fast and mobile assault. Light, accurate, reliable, familiar, available.